97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back in. Happy Friday to you. It's a little, tad bit warmer outside this morning than it was yesterday, and it's a noticeable difference. I mean, being in the mid-30s compared to 40 is a difference.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I didn't see any frost where I was this morning, but good luck with it. I think we're going to have a gorgeous weekend. Hopefully you got some plans to get outside. My tentative plans are to go to the St. Louis Bourbon Festival tonight, which is down around the Limp Mansion. That's a great time. I'm pretty sure there are probably still tickets available, but I'll give you more details on that here coming up. I think it's like stlouisbourbonfestival.com if you go there and check it out. And they've got 400 different whiskeys and bourbons you can try there and food trucks, and it's a great time, but you got to buy a ticket to get in, and then everything's paid for once you're there, and you can sample all these different bourbons. Should be pretty good. Should be a good time. And the weather should be just perfect for it, right? A little light jacket, and you should be good to go. So hopefully you got big plans over the course of the weekend. It's just a homecoming for my daughter. So I get to go out and take pictures of her and her friends.
So do they still do that?
Date.
Were they? Because I remember in high school, you'd get the limo and you'd get the corsage and the boutonniere, and you'd all line up on the stairs and take all the pictures, kind of awkwardly posing with this guy that you're really not even dating.
I grew up in a middle class household, and we couldn't afford a limo. Where did you grow up? Was your mom and dad a college professor or something?
I was working at McDonald's at the time.
Nice. No, they're not getting a limo. I guess you could. I don't ever remember doing that in high school. I know it became a thing there for a while. It's not cheap. Buddy Smitty runs basically a limo service. I don't think he owns a limo like you're thinking of, but like buses and stuff like that.
You know what I have seen as a trend is these girls wearing these really nice dresses, and then they wear tennis shoes. And that's a trend in general where, and I've done that, not like a fancy homecoming dress, but a dress and cute tennis shoes. But I'm like, where was that when I was in high school when we had to trek around in our high heels trying to dance like that? I'd like to wear tennis shoes.
Yeah, a little comfort there. The guys had to squeeze their feet into those patent leather, those fake leather shoes, and be miserable for 2 hours until they could get them off.
I hated it. As high heels, though.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, I still do feel bad because that probably would hurt your feet, but I don't feel that bad.
Yeah. I ran across one of my prom pictures the other day, and I was wearing a white tuxedo.
Nice.
With blue ruffled shirt.
It
was bad. It was like,
can you post that?
Early 80s kind of thing. I don't even know where the picture is now, but early 80s kind of thing.
That's great.
Yeah, it was rough.
Times have definitely changed.
Posing outside of my Firebird, which we drove to the homecoming or prom.
Able to afford that car despite being raised in a middle class family.
It was used. Thank you very much for pointing that out. I was working at McDonald's to earn pay for the gas. We're going to get to a more serious subject here in a couple of minutes, because I don't know if you heard this or not, but one of the Hamas terror leaders, the guy, this Yahya Sinwar, was killed in Gaza, and we're going to talk to a retired major general about what he thinks that means, what the implications of it are, whether, as some people are speculating, it could lead to an end of the conflict. I kind of doubt that, because these people are terrorists, and they're pretty committed to what it is they're doing, which is why Israel needs to continue taking care of business. But we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. First, though, let's get to the top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
At the end of the day, I'm Trump, because I my eyes open. I can see that he was doing a lot better than what we're going through right now.
Yeah, that is a barber up in Detroit, Michigan. Detroit is one of those areas, I think, where they had more people vote in the last election than they had registered voters. That guy, though, is voting for Trump this time, and Kamala Harris just can't figure out why black men aren't supporting her.
We do begin this hour with breaking news. Right now, Israel trying to determine if its forces have indeed killed the leader of Hamas, Yahya Sinwar.
Yahya. What a name. He's now departed the earth. They've confirmed it. We'll get to Major General retired Bob Dees coming up here in a minute.
I think Zelensky's one of the greatest salesmen I've ever seen. Every time he comes in, we give him $100 billion.
Yeah, great salesman, according to Donald Trump. There's a lot of blame to go around for what happened in Ukraine. Trump was laying some of that out yesterday.
And what did Trump say last night about January 6th? He called it a day of love. The American people are exhausted with his gaslighting.
You know where I stand on this. Kamala Harris and the Democrats created the big lie that January 6th was an insurrection. It was not an insurrection. Note to self, you cannot take over a country if you're unarmed. As Joe Biden has pointed out many times, you'll need more than your AR-15 because we have F-16s and F-18s and stealth bombers, and you better get you one of those, right? But for her to continue, I mean, she is just yammering on about these complete, everything Trump says is blown out of proportion. Everything. I was there on January 6th. I traveled there for this radio station. I know you've heard me talk about this before, but the mood was joyful. The people who, the hundreds of thousands of people who crowded around the Lincoln Memorial to listen to the president's speech this morning are not the people that were already down at the Capitol breaking in. We don't claim those people. I don't know those people. And the Secret Service and the federal law enforcement knew 5 or 10 days in advance that that's what they intended to do. The documentary that Kim and I talked about a couple weeks ago, we interviewed the guy that did it.
Yeah, what was that called? I forget.
I'll think of it in a minute. But the point is, he presented this as some sort of a non-biased, non-partisan look at what happened. But what he did was, from the time the election happened, he followed the people who were claiming that the election was fraudulent, right? And particularly some of these groups like the Proud Boys and others that I don't know anything about, but who were making claims that they were going to get violent if necessary. So he focused on those groups. And this documentary is about those groups leading up to and including January 6th. It didn't at all focus on the 250,000 other people who were in Washington that day who didn't go there for that reason. And if this filmmaker, this documentary filmmaker, knew what these guys were doing, you can damn well bet the FBI knew what they were doing. They had informants in the crowd. They knew exactly what their intention was. Nancy Pelosi made the decision not to reinforce the Capitol Police that day because they wanted to allow it to play out so they could use it against Donald Trump. Plain and simple. But that doesn't deny the fact that the other 250,000 people who were there because they loved Donald Trump and didn't believe the election was fair. And you're allowed to have that opinion in this country. Whether you like it or not, people are allowed to have that opinion. And this and the comment about Donald Trump wanting to use the military against American people who disagree with him, I've heard it ad nauseum. It's sickening. I've got the actual audio. I'm going to play it for you again this morning, and you can listen to it in context. That's never what he said. And Nancy Pelosi is the one that occupied Washington, D.C. with National Guard troops for weeks after January 6th. For weeks, she used the military supposedly to defend the Capitol, but the Capitol was never under threat. So what's the real message there? It was a message to the American people, is what it was, that you won't take power from us. That's what the message was. So the left uses this selectively, and we're going to call them out on it when they do it. All right, coming up, we're going to talk more about the death of this Hamas leader with Major General Bob Dees. He's retired now, but he served a lot of years, 31 years in the U.S. Army. We'll get his thoughts on the impact this might have.
You're live in the CNN newsroom. I'm Jim Acosta in Washington. We do begin this hour with breaking news. Right now, Israel trying to determine if its forces have indeed killed the leader of Hamas, Yahya Sinwar. Two Israeli sources telling CNN that forces engaged three militants near a building in Gaza and killed all three. The troops then found the man resembling Sinwar and alerted senior commanders. Sources telling CNN that DNA testing is underway at this point. If confirmed, Sinwar's death would have massive implications on the region, the Israel-Hamas war, of course, and the hostages still being held.
Yeah, that was yesterday. It's been confirmed that they got Yahya Sinwar, who is the mastermind of what happened on October 7th. We just talked about the anniversary of that earlier this month, and the fact that in many ways the United States is pressuring Israel to change its response to this. And here, if they had done that, they wouldn't have gotten this guy. I don't know. But we wanted the opinion of somebody who served in the military at a high level and what impact this might have. We've got retired Major General Bob Dees with us, currently serving as the National Center for Healthy Veterans in rural Virginia. And General, welcome in, sir. How are you?
Well, good to be with you, Mark.
Yeah, thank you. What was your reaction when you heard this?
Well, I was happy about it, optimistic. It's a good step forward. It's not the end, but it's probably the beginning of the end of Hamas. We've cut the head off the serpent, so to speak, and he was a bad guy. He wasn't called the butcher of Khan Yunis by accident. He was certainly the architect of October 7th. So it's a good thing. It's a good day.
Well, you know, I saw recently, and I showed this to a friend of mine yesterday who we were talking about this, and it was a meme that showed a young Hezbollah recruit who can't believe he's already been made regional manager. It seems that the joke being that every time you cut off the head, another one seems to pop up. Why should we believe that there isn't somebody else ready to take over for this guy who's just as bad?
Well, that is probably happening, but they may not be as bad or as good as that person was good operationally, not as a person. He had been in Israeli prison for 22 years. It was deeply galvanized, his hatred of the Israelis, and so he spent his whole adult life trying to kill Israelis in various ways. It's not an accident that there's a big, a whole wall of a building in Iran that is dedicated to him. He's a rock star there because he's been so effective in persecuting Israelis over the years.
Wow.
Whoops, sorry about that. I feel like it's going to take the Palestinians rebelling against them. And I understand that it's the, you know, David and Goliath story, I guess, with Hamas. But it seems like that's what it will ultimately take for them to no longer be in power. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you. No, I totally agree. I think it's a moment in time where Hamas is weaker than ever before, perhaps in their history. And it would be a time for the Palestinian people to revolt. I've been curious all along about why they would choose Hamas leadership to represent the Palestinian Authority in so many ways. It's just ironic that they choose somebody that continually persecutes them. I think the real hostages over this time have been the Palestinian people.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Talking to retired Major General Bob Dees, who served 31 years in the United States Army. Now that you're retired, looking at it, are you willing to give your opinion on U.S. foreign policy? And I recently heard this week that they basically threatened to withhold certain support from Israel if they didn't change their approach to what's going on in Gaza. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that strength deters aggressiveness on the part of our adversaries. I think weakness invites adventurism. That's what's happening. I think for the U.S. to sound an uncertain trumpet about Israel, one day they say we're fully in support, and the next day they say we're going to embargo, is ludicrous and fickle. And I don't think that's you just look at the outcomes, frankly, administration before Joe Biden's administration was able to deter. It was a peaceful scenario in the Middle East, and now there's forest fires going on everywhere in the Middle East. And that's a result, I think, of the Biden administration appeasement. And to also earlier with the Obama administration and the appeasement of Iran as a nuclear power.
Well, General, thank you for all you do there at the Center for Healthy Veterans. I direct people to healthyveterans.org to find out more about your mission statement and helping those veterans navigate the challenges of trauma and transition. And we appreciate your service, sir. Thank you.
You bet, Mark. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Good to get him on this morning. And yeah, I mean, he sees it. He's a retired 31-year major general in the Army.
Yeah.
Peace through strength.
Well, and you know what? I found an Arab American, I think it's a newspaper that has historically for decades endorsed Democrats, not endorsing Kamala. They don't like how this administration has handled everything over there.
Wow.
They try to toe the line.
Wow. Yeah, but it's more and more evidence of that for sure. Coming up, we're going to talk to Dinesh D'Souza. Love 2,000 Mules. I got to tell you, if you didn't see it. He's also the author of a new movie called Vindicating Trump. We got him right after the break.
More people say they trust him on the economy than they trust you.
I think that when you look at an analysis of our plans for what we would do as president of the United States, it has been clear to those who study and understand how economic policy works that moving forward, because I do believe the American people are ready to turn the page on the divisiveness and the type of rhetoric that has come out of Donald Trump. People are ready to chart a new way forward, and they want a president who has a plan for the future.
Does anybody know her plan, just out of interest? That obviously was part of her interview with Brett Baer, but it feeds into the constant narrative by Kamala Harris and anybody of any of her surrogates who speak out that Donald Trump is somehow a tyrant and is going to take over and act completely different than he did the first 4 years that he was in office. I mean, it's really kind of ridiculous. Happy to invite author and, of course, movie maker Dinesh D'Souza here on the show with us this morning. Dinesh, welcome back.
Hey, great to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. You've got a new movie and book out there called Vindicating Trump, and I love the cover of it. It's that picture of the president with his fist raised at the rally where he got shot. But my guess is the book was in the works before that.
You know, I do the book and the movie together. It's kind of my 1-2 punch. The book lays out a systematic argument with references, makes the case for Trump. The movie is a kind of a wonderful cinematic journey, and the centerpiece of the film is a riveting kind of one-on-one conversation with Trump. And the website, by the way, to get DVDs or stream the movie is just vindicatingtrump.com.
I love that. You know, I mean, the rhetoric has not toned down at all. I mean, we're not in uncharted waters because I know we've had assassination attempts before. But the mainstream media now acts like the assassination attempts didn't even happen. And people like Kamala Harris and Tim Walz go out every day and compare Donald Trump basically to a tyrant like Hitler, and they get away with it.
Yes. I mean, the remarkable thing is we've seen assassination attempts against presidents and former presidents in the past. There were successful attempts against Lincoln and JFK. There was an unsuccessful attempt, for example, against Teddy Roosevelt. I know of no case where an assassination attempt was preceded by years of systematic vilification to such a degree that a normal person, and in fact, certainly a kook, but perhaps even a normal person would think, you know what? If this guy were eliminated from the scene, the country and the world would be better. That would be nothing more than a logical inference from the kinds of things that Kamala Harris has been saying, Tim Walz, Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and many others.
You know, one of the number one questions I hear Trump still getting asked in these interviews is asking about what happened January 6th and if he wants to take the blame for that. And then, of course, whenever J.D. Vance is interviewed, they're asking him, you know, would you certify this? Do you think that he lost that election? It's funny how the media is so focused on the past. It's like they cannot let that go.
Well, they're exploiting an ambiguity because it's quite possible for legal challenges to fail and Trump exit the White House. That's what happened in 2020, early 2021. And Trump still to believe reasonably that the election was stolen. But the media acts like if you concede one, the first part, you have to deny that there was anything wrong with the election. This was somehow the most secure election in history. So it's simply preposterous. With regard to January 6th, one of the questions I posed to Trump, and you can see the kind of surprise and also genuine interest in his eyes, is I said, listen, you know, they keep saying you called for this, for an insurrection. And I say, as far as I can see, you didn't do that. You didn't say to anybody, go inside the Capitol, take over the place, stop the count. But I said, but you know what? Had you called for one, there would have been one, a real one.
And there would be one if you called for one now. So what that tells me is that you have a certain kind of power that is almost unique in American politics. I mean, if Kamala Harris called for an insurrection, it would be a public joke. No one would really show up. So I asked Trump, what is it like to have that kind of power, and what do you intend to do with it? Yes. And his answer is very illuminating.
Well, looking forward to that. It's called Vindicating Trump, and you can go to the website and check it out. We'll give you that web address here again in a minute. Dinesh, I watched your documentary, 2,000 Mules. I've talked a lot to Hans von Spakovsky and others about election integrity this time around. How do you feel that's going to go? Because we in many cases, we've done away with drop boxes, not in every case, and we're requiring voter ID in more and more situations. But is there any reason to believe that the Democrats couldn't try to pull the same tricks they pulled in 2020?
In my opinion, the landscape is much better. There have been some legislative improvements, some improvements in rules, some good court decisions. I also think the simple impact of 2,000 mules is very important, because when you bust a scheme, it's very difficult to keep doing it.
Yeah.
If mules start showing up in the middle of the night with backpacks full of ballots, there are going to be some patriots looking for that, waiting for them. So I think that the Democrats, if they cheat, are going to have to figure out a new way. But I've been looking at all these betting averages, Polymarket and other places, which show Trump kind of pulling away from Harris, and not to mention the fact that the Republicans have a decent chance to get the House and the Senate. So this is when kind of desperation begins to set in the final stretch. You know, it's like a cornered animal is always dangerous. And so I think we should be vigilant, because the Democrats might be looking for what they can do to try to change the odds at this point.
Well, and I've seen, I think it was like record early voting numbers so far in Georgia, and I think a couple other states. So, and that was Republican, heavy Republican area. So for me, that's very encouraging, because I think there's kind of been this pattern of where conservatives don't want to vote early. And I think we've seen what can happen and what they could possibly try to pull. So we're thinking we got to make sure our vote counts and we get out there to actually cast a ballot.
Yes, it's not merely the disruptions that can somehow turn up on Election Day, as happened in Maricopa County in 2022. It's also that when you bank your vote early, the campaign can focus on the undecided voters and getting them out at the last minute. So for these reasons, I'm really delighted to see that Republican behavior has, you know, changed over the last 4 years.
You know, Dinesh D'Souza, our guest, of course, a filmmaker, author, and I want to go back to 2,000 Mules for a minute. I need to get your reaction to this, because I've had this conversation with people. You had video of drop boxes of people going there in the middle of the night with handfuls of ballots, wearing rubber gloves so there wouldn't be any fingerprints on their hands, and dumping these ballots in the middle of the night. To my knowledge, not a single investigative agency, not a sheriff, not a police, not a fed, nobody has ever investigated any of that when it was a clear violation of the law. Am I right on that?
You are right, and it is a kind of national scandal. Now, I'm not terribly surprised that since the fraud was going on in heavily Democratic areas where you have Democratic power structures, that the Democrats in charge were not overly eager to investigate. However, the really appalling thing is that even Republicans, some mainstream Republicans who could have put pressure for this to happen, were scared of the issue of election fraud, were worried about being called election deniers, were a little intimidated by the media, and therefore kept a sort of prudent silence when it came to the 2,000 mules. All we said is, hey, interview the mules. Let's hear if they have some great explanation for why they're going in the middle of the night from drop box to drop box. Maybe they were doing something very lawful and we never thought about it. I don't think so, but that was never done, and you are quite right about that.
Wow, it's pretty eye-opening. Well, we appreciate your continued work on this. We'll direct people to VindicatingTrump.com, where they can go and check out, they can watch the movie, I believe, if they can stream it on what, Rumble? Is that correct?
It's streaming on Rumble, on another platform called Salem Now, also on Locals. It's all very easy. The links are all on the website. Essentially, you just click and you can watch.
Yeah, or you can buy the DVD, whatever is easier for you. Dinesh D'Souza, it's always great having you on. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. Author Dinesh D'Souza, great to get him on here this morning. And I continue to be stunned by, after watching 2,000 Mules, the fact that nobody thought it would be a good idea to take that piece of security video, try to figure out who the individual was, and go interview them about why you had a bag full of ballots that you were stuffing in a box
in the middle of the night,
right, with rubber gloves on that you then peeled off and threw in the trash can next to it.
Don't you think any remaining drop boxes, there's, to his point, there's going to be some conservative who's standing out there? Like, I just see things are going to play out much differently this time.
I hope so. I really, really hope so. Wow. Coming up, we're going to get to In Other News in just a couple minutes here. Next hour, we're going to talk to our friend Elizabeth Pipke. She is with the RNC. I want to get her reaction to these continued lies by Kamala Harris, by Tim Walz, by all of them, that somehow Donald Trump is going to take over and turn the U.S. military against his enemies. It's the silliest thing I've ever heard, but they keep repeating it in their talking points. And we're going to talk to Elizabeth about that coming up here at about 7:20 this morning. Stay tuned.
Experiencing low energy, brain fog, or bloating? Then your body might need a detox. Active Liver from New Nordic makes it easy to help your liver to detox your body all year long without major changes to your diet or lifestyle. Active Liver is available in stores at CVS or online at Amazon.
Locked and loaded. The Mark Cox Morning Show. Follow Mark on Twitter at MarkCox971.
I don't worry about nothing.
Happening.
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
Meta, which of course is the parent company of Facebook, fired around 24 employees recently for misusing company meal credits for things like laundry detergent, wine glasses, and acne treatment pads. So here's
They get
meal credits. So many of the company's offices around the country, they have what they call upscale food course. Everything is free for the employees. So if you work in a smaller office that doesn't have that option, what they do is they give them meal vouchers, $20 for breakfast and then $25 each for lunch and dinner.
Wow.
They did this investigation that found that some of these employees, instead of using it for meals at their desk like they're supposed to, they instead were using it for some of the items, like I mentioned, laundry detergent, wine glasses. And they'd also have the food delivered to their home while they weren't on the job, so they were fired.
Good. That's good. I'm amazed by that. I mean, a lot of people sell their food stamp card that they get charged up at the beginning of every month. We tried to do a story on it one time with Channel 4, and they were lined up at midnight around a convenience store over on the east side, where it was known that the owner would give them half of whatever the card was worth and take the other half as profit. I assume that guy ever got busted for that. I don't know, but it's pretty amazing.
I would like to have a $20 meal voucher every single day. My gosh.
Do you remember when Twitter switched over and Elon Musk bought Twitter?
Yeah.
And they showed like the office, they showed all the food they get?
No, but I'm sure it was really fancy.
I can see why it's $20.
Did he put an end to all that?
I don't know.
I hope. I hope.
All right. Disney parks are adding a new top-tier line-skipping upgrade. It's going to cost you up to $449 per person. That, of course, is on top of what you're paying to get into the park.
Hello.
This Lightning Lane Premier Pass pilot program will begin next Wednesday at Disneyland and Disney World, and it's going to be the only way that you can show up without having to specify a time and then be able to skip the line.
We got to get Annie Fry's thoughts on that, because she's the big Disney fan around here. Well, Middleman is, too.
Yeah,
I think his daughter's working there right now, right? Isn't she doing an internship or something?
Is that really worth it? Even the other pass you can get to skip the line?
Oh, hell no. You would just have to be filthy rich, because if you had a family of four, you're spending what?
$1,600
to just skip the line and walk past people who are going to stare at you if stares could kill. Could you imagine walking past these sweaty SOBs that have been standing in this line for an hour?
Well, I guess
and
Kamala
you waltz right
go.
Up to the front?
She was raised in a middle-class family. I don't know how she would afford that,
you know? She could sell that belt she was wearing the other day for $12,000 or $13,000, and she could afford to do it.
Those earrings that she has on every time she does an interview. Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the annual Victoria's Secret Fashion Show made history Tuesday. Not for the reason you might be guessing. It's because it showcased its first transgender models. One of the men came out wearing a sparkling black bikini and heels. The other guy was wearing the classic white angel wings and a two-piece bathing suit. A spokesperson for Victoria's Secret said that we'll deliver precisely what our customers have been asking for. The glamour, runway fashion, fun, wings, entertainment, all through a powerful modern lens reflecting who we are today.
Oh, for God's sake. Who's asking for that?
That's what the men want, to
who
see
is
other
asking
men in bikinis.
I don't believe anybody's asking for that.
Yeah, you know when you say maybe not for the reasons you expect, that's actually exactly what I expected.
Yeah, that's where things are going.
you can't do that. I don't buy that for a minute. Come on.
Tyra Banks made her return to modeling at that show.
Yeah, but she's a woman.
Well, I don't need to be
a Supreme Court justice or a biologist to tell you that.
Well, really, what is a woman? You're not a biologist, Mark. You have any way to say that. All right, a new study by Class Central reveals that Gen Z is more interested in creative, social media-driven careers like being an influencer, artist, or model than the traditional roles like teacher, doctor, or lawyer. So they
you can be lazy. That's why.
Well, they base this on Instagram hashtags, and they found that model was supposedly the top choice for all of these people, followed by artist, photographer, makeup artist, and blogger. Marketing, singer, and personal trainer also ranked pretty high. The traditional careers like doctor, that ranked 25th. Lawyer ranked 34th.
Yeah. Well, I mean, influencers, if they're successful, can make millions of dollars, right?
Yeah.
So I blame the Kardashians for that problem.
That's
honestly, because very few people ever achieve that, but that's what they think.
These influencers show these outfits, and I'll admit I follow some of them, and I'm like, how are you affording? I mean, I know how they're affording it, but it's insane. Think if social media like Instagram ever shut down, their job is donezo.
I got an idea. Go back to school and get an engineering degree, and then make some money, and then call me later.
Get more at 971talk.com.